I'm going to be talking about money for the next 2 weeks. And this week we're going to talk about the biblical perspective on money. So I'm just going to read some verses, give some introductory things, and then talk about some of the things that the Bible talks about in regard to money. Next week, I'm going to just share some of my experiences with money. And so just some of my approaches and things. And so the interesting thing with money is there's some general principles, and there's not a lot of specifics. We have to take some general principles and apply them to specifics. And it's the same way in the Bible. It doesn't give you a lot of specific details, but general principles. And there's just so many different ways to do it and be successful. And there's lots of ways to do it and be unsuccessful. And so even though we have some tens in here, which is awesome, I hope everyone can learn things. And we always need to be in a mode of learning things. And so I hope you have the opportunity today to learn a few things and become a 10 and a half or however that works out. But we'll just run through this. There are courses that you can take. The Dave Ramsey thing that you had mentioned, he's got a 9-week course. It used to be 13 weeks, and now it's 9 weeks for an hour and a half. I'm just going to have about a half an hour to do this. I'm going to fire hose you. I'm just going to dump a lot of stuff. My goal is not for you to change your life through this or to have some things that you can just grasp onto and say, "Ah, I'm going to do that." I'm going to just try to plant some seeds for you to follow up on. And so I would encourage, no matter where you're at, to take some ideas from this week and next week to maybe make some improvements. And that's kind of the way we should always be, always. We should always be in learning mode and improvement mode. And so we're going to get this started. My vision for money, and I don't know if it's the same one for yours, so just kind of tell you where I'm coming from. I want to have the basics of life. I want to have a place to live, transportation, food, and clothes. So I want to have that taken care of, and I want to be able to easily pay the bills that support that. I also want to take care of my family. I want to save things for things and also for the future. I want to be able to handle emergencies. You've heard that saying, save it for a rainy day. I guarantee it's going to rain. So we need to save for a rainy day. And most importantly, I want to have money to give to others. And so that's my vision. I hope it's your vision. It's stability. It's not living from paycheck to paycheck. It's not scrambling. It's not when something comes up, because it always does, figuring out, oh no, how am I going to do this? And, you know, if you want to move in that area, hopefully we can learn some things and help you with that. So why talk about money? Money's important. In the Bible, and I didn't count them all, but they said that there's 2,500 plus verses on money and possessions in the Bible. That's a lot of verses. They also, I heard in reading something, and Dave Ramsey said this. He's a financial person that you'll see on TV and stuff. But he said that 15% of what Jesus talked about was about money and possessions. So if money and possessions is important in the Bible, it needs to be important to me and to you. And so the question is, why is it important? Money gives us options. And so having money affects where you live, where you go, how you get there, how you spend your time, what you eat, what you wear, how you help others, what happens when emergencies come up, and if you get extra money earned from savings, that's called passive income, how you spend your time, and if you have money, a lot of times you'll have more free time to enjoy things. And then some people search, or they try to find meaning or significance in money. And so it's how much money they have is how good they feel about themselves. On the other side, when you don't have money, it limits where you live, where you go, how you get there, what you worry about, how you spend your time, how you help others, or if you can even help others, how much you need to ask others for help, what happens when emergencies come up, and lack of money earned from savings, so you don't have that part of it, and then how you spend your time. And sometimes instead of leisure time, it's an overtime or more jobs or hustling or paying debts. And it affects our significance and meaning when we struggle with money. So we feel bad sometimes. So money is important. It affects whether you generally help others or whether you generally need help from others, is how you have money and what you've done with money. And how you have money, how you've done with money affects if people will loan you money, how much they'll loan you, and what the interest rate is. And so there's a saying that says, show me your checkbook and calendar, and I'll show you who you are or what you consider to be important. So show me what you spend money on, and show me how you spend your time, and I'll tell you who you are. And so it is important in our lives. God loves us, and he wants us to live a better life on earth and for eternity. And one of the ways that he can help us to do that, because he loves us, just like you would love your kids, is you want to help them make wise decisions. And in the Bible, he's given us a lot of wisdom that we can take advantage of, and a lot of times we don't. And so having a proper view of money is very important because it affects how we live. And so God wants to teach us, and so that's why he's given us a lot in the Bible. So why use the Bible to learn about money? There's a scripture verse, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. You probably heard it maybe. All scripture is inspired by God. All scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. God is an expert about everything, and he is, and so he can teach us. And so he does that in the Bible, and one of the things he teaches us about is money. And we can learn a lot from his instructions. He created it all. It's kind of like if you created a game and people were trying to play it, but they didn't want to read the rules, but you created it. And you know the rules, and you set it all up. And that's kind of what we do when we don't go to God for guidance. Because he created this world, and he knows how, he created us. He knows how we work, and he knows how things work. And he knows what's best for us because he loves us. Good question. On our website, I am recording this, and also I have this handy piece of paper which will be on there. So you'll have all my notes, and you'll have the recording also. So thank you. Good. I was going to mention that. Thanks, Kat. It's just a little side point. Money isn't the only thing that God's an expert at, by the way. And so I used to work at IBM. I used to work with consulting companies that sold our software. And one of my challenges was IBM licensing. So in certain situations, how they license our software legally and pay for it right and in the cheapest way and stuff. You know who's the best person at IBM software licensing? God. God. And I'm kidding, but I'm not. I'm trying to think of, who's the best halfway house manager ever? Nope. It's God. And I'm kidding here, but anything that you do, whatever your expertise is or whatever challenges you have, who's the best truck driver? And I know that's a silly thing to say, but God is the best at everything. And so it's just good to remember that whatever you're doing, that he knows it, even if it's a worldly job that someone's doing. God knows everything, and he's best at it. So Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Amen. Yep. And so the world teaches us things about money, which are often lies. They say money is all there is. Money's the most important thing. And it's not. And we'll talk about this. But we get a lot of messages, things. You need the nicest car. You need the nicest clothes. You need the nicest shoes. 5 years for a pair of shoes, no way. You got to get newer ones because there's LeBron now and all this other stuff. So anyway, the world tells us things that aren't true and that hurt us. And so we need to combat that. And the only way we can combat it is with the Word of God. And so Many of us think that this stuff that I'm talking about is just for Monday nights. And I kind of wrote this out a little bit, and kind of people might say, I know what's really going on. Life is about things. The golden rule is he who has the gold makes the rules. And I'll listen, but nothing will change because I'm smarter than the God who created all of this. And I know no one would really say that, but that's what we act when we don't pay attention to what he says. And it's to our own detriment. Proverbs 1:1-4 talks about wisdom and seeking wisdom with all our heart, and how it helps us to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what's right and just and fair. And God wants to help us in this. And so if you think you know everything, if you're a 10 and you're done, there is room for improvement, and you'll have that opportunity. But and hopefully tonight this will help. And so this tonight is about change, and hopefully just change a little bit in your perspective to do things differently. So what should you expect out of this? It's just an overview. You got to follow up. I mentioned that before. There's a lot of good stuff out there about money that you can learn. Dave Ramsey's a good place to start. He has a course. There's lots. I read a book as part of the preparation for this. There's a lot of people who have good information out there, real practical information. But these are general principles. The Bible doesn't tell you don't buy this car or buy that car. Doesn't tell you to buy this house or not to buy this house or what size house to buy. Doesn't say save a specific percent of your income. It doesn't say never have more debt. It doesn't give any specifics like that. It doesn't even say don't go to a casino or play the lottery. We talked about that a few weeks ago. It doesn't tell you what loan percentage to pay. It doesn't even say, and this may surprise you, that it doesn't say you have to give 10% to the church. And so we could talk about that as another lesson. But it gives general principles that will guide us. And so you have to take those principles with God's help and with other people's help and apply them. I'm not an expert at this. I don't know what I'd give myself. I'll talk about next week as far as, you know, some of the things I've been able to do because of managing money and stuff. But there's always room for improvement. I've learned a lot as I've prepared this, and I want to learn more for the rest of my life. And Kat, this is where I put in my audio and note. My notes will be on the website. So you'll have all these verses and everything. So it's interesting. Not too many people, you mentioned Dave Ramsey, but most people didn't say, I read a book, I took a course. It had to do with people around you, and that's what happens. My kids are amazing at handling money. I won't give specifics, but I paid for all three of their private school educations, and my one son, my oldest son, graduated with a lot of money in the bank. That wasn't fair. But he was so good. What kid at that age will put money in the bank? I mean, there's so many things to spend it on, but he was wise enough to do that. And all three of my kids have been very good with money, and I didn't sit him down and teach him. I think money is more of it's caught than taught. And so you catch it from people you're around than actually, we were going to do that thing. Okay. Yep.
I noticed my daughters, they're not into like Jordans or name brands, or I mean, they're cool with light up shoes. Like, they don't know anything like that, but kids, some kids from their age, they are into stuff like that.
Yep.
So do you think them kind of not oblivious to that, do you think that would help, or do you think that doesn't help?
So
you understand what I'm saying?
I do. I will address that specifically.
Okay.
So great. You'll see this come up. And so that's a really good point. So the Bible talks a lot about money. I've got all these 2,500 verses, and if we're going to make it through all of them tonight, we better get started. I'm just kidding. So there were so many of them that I just had to toss, and so I grabbed some of them, and I got more than probably we can do today. But I'm going to, again, we'll start the fire hose process, and let's get started. So the first one I have is Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him. God owns everything. We think we own stuff, but we don't. We're just stewards of it. and we have the opportunity to use it, and it could disappear just like that. It is not ours. We're not in control, and we know that, and that's an important principle. Yep. And so Matthew 6:25-27, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, but their heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? That is so profound. Don't worry about your basic needs. Just seek God and follow good principles, and he will take care of you. You'll get your needs taken care of. You may not get your wants taken care of, but you'll get your needs taken care of. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. So it's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money. And so we just need to remember that. If you love money, you won't be loving God. And you won't be loving what God wants you to love, which is God and others. Loving and focusing on money is distracting and will cause us to compromise and destroy ourselves in relationships. What a life if you just focus on money. And for all kinds of reasons, and we'll talk about. It's always good to stop and examine what you love. So I would encourage you this week, this is a challenge, to find someone who's close to you and say, you've been around me. What does my life tell you that I love? And that's a good discussion to have. So that's for another lesson too. 1 Timothy 6:17-19 says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, which richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasures as a good foundation for the future, so they may experience true life. Sometimes we get security from money and think we're in control. Sometimes we get our significance from money and think we are good because of money. Money is not something to base your significance or security on, because it'll fail you. You'll crash and burn. Use your money to be good. Be generous, which will store up real treasure in heaven for you. Proverbs 38:9. First, help me never to tell a lie. Second, give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs. For if I grow rich, I may deny you and say, who is the Lord? And if I am too poor, I may steal and thus insult God's holy name. That's pretty smart, isn't it? You can be distracted by too much money or too little money. Bill Gates, think about this. He couldn't spend all the money if he wanted to, and he's trying to, and his ex-wife or whatever, soon-to-be ex-wife, is trying to spend it all. But that weighs on you if you have all that money, and it's ridiculous. You don't think about that because we all think, wow, I'd love to have that much money. But there is too much money. What do you do with all that? You can't spend it practically. You couldn't. You would have trouble wasting it. And so that would take time and effort and distract you from the good things in life. And the same things in poverty will distract you to think, I got to steal. I got to do other stuff. And so just give them enough. And then that lying part is for a whole different thing. But it's something good to think about. Lying's bad. So we all know that. Here's Luke 12:13-21. This is a little bit longer. Then someone called from the crowd, teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me. Jesus replied, friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that? Then he said, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. This is Jesus talking. Then he told him a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said, I'll just summarize this. He had so many crops that he didn't know what to do with them, so he built bigger barns and stored them all in, and then he died. And so he gathered all of that stuff. He had so much stuff that he had to figure out what to do with it, and then he died. And so a couple things. One, this is an interesting, and I was listening to Dave Ramsey today on a podcast thing. This guy was talking to Jesus at the beginning. Well, if you had a chance to sit down with Jesus, and I don't really need an answer, but just think about what you would say to him, what would you ask him? What did this guy do? hey, Jesus, help me with my brother. I would say, Jesus, how can I do better? Teach me things about life and whatever. And so when you love money, when you're greedy, you don't seek after God, you seek after things. You get everything all mixed up from a priority standpoint, and that's what that guy did. And it said, life is not measured by how much you own. I've helped clear out a house of my dad and my mother-in-law. And you know what we did with all their incredibly valuable possessions that they stored and treasured and everything? We got a dumpster and put it out in front of the house. And we loaded that stuff in there. All of that stuff that you treasure is going to go in a dumpster. And it's just really not that valuable. And to think about that, and that's what he's saying, is that when you gather stuff and you put all that effort into it, that's not what life's all about as far as what you have. Life is short. Don't focus on collecting things here on earth, but focusing on having a rich relationship with God. And that's what will last for here and eternity. Ecclesiastes 5, 10 and 11. Those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. The more you have, the more you come to help you spend, the more people come to help you spend it. We all know that. So what good is wealth except perhaps to watch it slip through your fingers? What wisdom. And that's so opposite of what the world tells us. You will never have enough money. I guarantee it. And again, our minds say, oh, yes, I will. Just give me this much. And I know a couple guys, none of them are here, but they're making $20 an hour. And they were making a lot less than that before. And they're not saving. I ask them, hey, how you doing saving money? Oh, I don't really have any savings now. Because there's a rule that whatever you make, you have the opportunity to spend a little bit more. In one of the books I read, there was a person making $600,000 a year working with this finance guy, and they were spending more than they took in. And so it doesn't matter. I know you can't believe that because you just want a little bit more. That's what the word greed means. More. Wanting more. And so, and money doesn't bring happiness. It doesn't. What money does is it makes you more of what you really are. And if you're a grouchy, mean person, you're going to be more of a grouchy, mean person with money. If you're a generous, loving person, you're going to be more of a generous, loving person. Work on being the person you should be. Money's not going to make you happy. Proverbs 9 and 10. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. So the Proverbs has wisdom in it. It's not, these aren't promises, these are principles. So this isn't going to happen exactly, but the principle behind it is if you honor God with your wealth, he'll reward you. And how that looks like and when and all of that stuff, but it's a pretty safe thing to do to honor him with your wealth. Proverbs 22:7, just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. And so it talks about debt. The borrower is the servant to the lender, and who wants to be a servant? And so debt is interesting. The Bible doesn't ever say not to borrow, but it does say it never says borrowing is good. Debt is never encouraged, but we are cautioned about borrowing. And be careful with borrowing, especially for things that are luxuries. Interest is expensive. Often the reason one needs to borrow, poor decisions and planning, is also the reason it is difficult to pay money back. So the habits that you have as far as spending too much and thinking that you need to borrow, it's not the needing to borrow that's going to solve the problem. You've got to fix the spending problem. If you want to get someone out of your life, loan them some money. They disappear.
Especially if they can't pay you back.
Exactly, and that's why. So, little joke there. But anyway, just be careful with borrowing. And also, let's say you have a $500 payment a month. What could you do with that $500 otherwise? And they were talking about something with like 20 years at 500. And I know that's a long time, but 500 a month, you could have in the millions in 20 years if depending on the interest rate and stuff. And so you're paying it for a nice car that's depreciating quickly. So just be careful with borrowing. That's kind of what the Bible says, but it doesn't say that borrowing is wrong and you should never do it. But just be careful with it. Romans 13:7, give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. Honor the government. I know we may not like the government. We may not agree, but God put them in place. And so we need to pay our taxes and we need to give them respect. And that's an important principle in the Bible. Philippians 4:11-12. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. This is Paul talking. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. And so chances are you're going to have times of prosperity. You're going to have times of less prosperity or being poor. If you get your significance and put your importance on how much money you have, you're going to ride a rough roller coaster. If you don't care that much about your money and you just, you know, it's not your focus, if you're caring about loving God and loving others and your money goes up and down, you're going to be okay.
Yes, sir.
So just wisdom.
Amen.
Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Okay, Julian, this is what this is a funny verse for money. And this was a thing that Dave Ramsey said in his thing today. He had five principles, and this is one of them. I thought, what in the world? Why? He said, be careful who you hang out with. Know who you hang out with. And the reason is the people that you hang out with are who you're going to be like. It is just, it's a fact. There's that saying that I like, and we've heard it before, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You cannot hang out with people a lot and not become like them. It's just going to happen. So the people that you hang out with, what do they think about money? How do they look at money? What do they consider important?
What about being raised? Like, what
children value? Yep. And that's the part too, as far as, like, I think my kids picked up stuff from my family, and a lot of people talked about their mothers and fathers learning. And so it's who you hang out with, and a lot of times when you're kids, you hang out with your parents.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
That's how she
could
look at the shoes.
Yep.
I think they don't hurt my feet. That's how she saw it. But another child, her same age, is looking at it in a totally different way. You can tell that's what they're going to chase.
Yep.
When they get older, they're going to chase that.
Yep.
Yep. So it's the same money part.
Yep. So yeah, their kids are influenced by who they hang out with, and it's really strong, that peer pressure.
It's frivolous things. You know,
yep.
Frivolous.
Yep. Yep. Sure.
For that, I'm picking up where Julian left off at.
Yep.
Now, how would you recommend him to go about, because his daughter's going to grow up in an environment, a generation where Nikes, LeBrons, Jordans are kind of evolving.
Yep.
So how would you recommend for a kid growing up in that generation, in that stage, how would you manage that money? Like, how would you explain it?
Yep. It's difficult. The pressure, and I don't know if we recognize it, but every one of us feels that. We feel that the advertising is so effective, and we want to be like those cool people in the advertisements and the people that we hang out with. And it's getting tougher. So I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say it's easy. What the Bible teaches us is that as parents or as people that have a chance to influence those kids is to spend a lot of time with them and talk to them. And it talks about in Deuteronomy is as you walk and as you go, teach them.
And
yep. So it's difficult, and prayer and God's help, but it's with our culture, that's a very difficult thing. And we see it in the kids, but if you step back and you'll see it in yourself of looking at the pressure in this culture and what's important and how you should look. So and it's hard because it's everywhere. And it's normal, and we always like to be normal, and so again, that has to do with who you hang out with, And so one of the things that you can do, and it's really hard, but look for people who have the same values as you, who want to love God and to love others. Amen. And get together with them so you can help each other move forward, because you can't do it by yourself. Yep. Yep. Facebook and all of those. It's all, we're bombarded by it, and I feel it. And
it's like an old saying that if you hang around people that rob and steal, you won't rob.
Yep.
If you hang around people that's chasing God, walking
yep.
God, you're going to start chasing.
Yep.
Yep.
It's absolutely true, and it's important. And Pam's going to teach us all about that in a couple weeks. She's going to no about the importance of relationships. Nope. She could teach us about robbing and stealing, but we just want her to teach us about relationships. So it's good to think about that, and that's important to look at who you hang out with. And I like somebody says, hang out with people who love Jesus more than you do. And so, Proverbs 21:5, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. There are no good shortcuts. Planning results in habits. Good habits require saying no to what you want today so you can have what you want in the future. Borrowing or buying expensive wants lead you to poverty. And we talk about freedom. Your freedom to get whatever you want today restricts your freedom of having the good stuff that's worth saving for in the future.
Amen.
So you can't have freedom, all freedom. One freedom restricts another freedom. Proverbs 15:22, plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. This is stuff to wrestle with. You're asking great questions. Ask questions. Talk to people who you respect. Ask for their advice. Don't go it alone. Matthew 6:19-21, don't store up treasures here on earth where your moths eat and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust can't destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Where is your heart? And we have to ask ourselves that question. What are your treasures? What would wreck your life if it got taken away? So focus, and this is what this is kind of a weird saying, and I'll say it a couple times so you can think about it. Focus on not feeling good, but focus on feeling good about doing good. So don't focus about feeling good, because that's temporary and usually leads to trouble, because we all want to feel good, and there are things that can make us feel good that aren't good for us.
Amen.
But focus on feeling good about doing good. And so the doing good are things that we may not want to do, but we know are good for us. Reading the Bible is one of those things. I don't like to read the Bible a lot of times because they're just a lot more fun things to do. But I'll read the Bible because I know that it's good for me. And I want to feel good about doing good. And so it's something to think about through there. Matthew 6:31-33. So don't worry about these things, what we eat, wear, drink. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Seek first the kingdom of God and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And we've heard that before. Worrying only makes things worse. Trust God and don't worry. Focus on seeking God and loving others, and seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be okay. And it will, even in bad times. I'm going to keep moving here. Deuteronomy 8:18, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. God gives you the ability to be successful. God gives you the ability to do what you do. Be thankful. Thank him. Realize that what you have comes from you, from him, as opposed to, look what I did. Look what I accomplished.
Amen.
You didn't have any choice in where you were born, who you were born to, whether you had all arms and legs or not, what your race is, how much money your parents had, what skills and gifts and capabilities that you have. All of this comes from God, and we're blessed. But it's not, look at what I did. so much of what we are and who we are, we had no influence on. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And loving money will take you to a whole different direction. We talked about that before. It'll put your focus on you, and it's not about you. It'll make us compromise and sacrifice our relationship with God and others and leave us empty. It will. You can't do them both. Proverbs 13:11, wealth from get-rich schemes quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows over time. So get-rich schemes, playing the lottery or whatever, most people don't win, so it's not really a problem, but also illegal. And I've just heard a lot of drug dealer stories. I knew one guy who said, as soon as I get $1 million, I'm gonna quit. He's dead right now, by the way. He did. There's no retirement from that. There's no get rich quick. There's no, and all of that money, it just, that's not what life is about. We've talked about that. Amen. Proverbs, or Luke 14:28. But don't begin until you count the cost, for who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? This is about being a Christian. This is in the context of that, but it's also just common sense. Don't spend more than you make. And so when you're in that situation, you have one of two choices. You can increase your income or you can decrease your spending. And so plan, work on that. Figure out what your needs are and how you can cut those back to decrease your spending, and then figure out ways to increase your income. But plan, budget. So spend less than you make. This is Proverbs 30:24-25. There are four things on earth that are small but unusually wise, and this is the first one. Ants, they aren't strong, but they store up food all summer. And saying you are wise like an ant to store for rainy days for the future, because it will rain and you'll need this. And so you're wise if you store up, if you don't have money set back. 1 Timothy 5:8. But those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. Take care of your family. I know, it's tough. And, different family situations and stuff, but take responsibility for your family. This is God teaches this specifically. Proverbs 22:26-27, don't agree to guarantee another person's debt or put up security for someone else. If you can't pay it, even the bed will be snatched from under you. Don't co-sign somebody's loan unless you plan to give it to them as a gift. And the Bible teaches this. It knows. The next one, it talks about being a cheerful giver. And I know we've heard that. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. And what that means, how do you be a cheerful giver? And the way you do it is that you don't make money your God. And don't make that the most important thing in your life.
Amen.
And so if you look at money as a means to an end as opposed to the end, and money can be a way to serve God and to love others, then you'll cheerfully give it. If you want to hold on to it and think it's all about me, and if I give it to that person, then I'm not going to get X, you're not going to be a cheerful giver. So just a couple more. And I have Acts 20:35, and I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord. It is more blessed to give than receive. We've heard that. We all know that's true. We'd rather give something to somebody else than be in need, and I hope that's the case. And then the last one, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it talks about don't do your deeds of kindness in public. Don't do them to show off. Do them quietly so no one else knows about it, because it's about being good, to doing what God wants you to do, as opposed to getting. So these are some of the things that are specifically addressed from a principle standpoint in the Bible, and there's lots more. Any surprises? Anybody surprised at anything that was that?
Yeah, I was a little surprised because we've been talking about that in church for the last 2 weeks.
Interesting. Good. Good. Yep. So, just to wrap it up, if I had to summarize this, and you can think in your mind to summarize it, I just summarize it by saying, loving God, love God and love others. Money is not an end in itself, but a means to help us love God and others. Money is important because it can help out, help. Money is important because it can help, but it also has its dangers that we must be aware of if we love money and focus too much on it. And so I hope this has been helpful. Since I've done this, and I hope, you know, you're positioned real well. Could we take an offering now? I'm just kidding. That's what it seems like a lot of churches do, is they preach about money so they can take an offering, and we're not going to do that. I hope this has been helpful. I hope that it can stimulate some thinking. I hope you'll follow up on this. This will be available on the web. The audio will be available on our website. If you have any trouble finding it or whatever, contact me. Faithbasedmentoring.org. Faithbasedmentoring.org. Any questions or comments? Yep. Yep.
It's a good lesson to learn when they're tiny. I had my kids write out the mortgage payment and the electric bill so that they knew where it came from.
Yep. 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 And so it's important to teach them, and it's also, I would say, maybe a little bit more important, but real important to teach them is to set the example for them.
Yes.
Yep. And answer questions. And D1.
For me, I love the way you emphasize and clarify that it's not money is the root of all evil, it's the love of money
yep.
is the root of all evil. And yep. the thing that goes with that is the Bible says that God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, the Holy Ghost power. And the love of money, that can institute a spirit of fear in us.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're afraid, that's when we lash out and we attack. And generally, people who have, like, too much money, they have a spirit of fear that they're going to somehow lose that money. And that's why when Wall Street crashed, all of those zillionaires grabbed themselves, their wives and kids, and basically all jumped out of windows
yeah.
because they could not fathom living on this earth without that money
yeah.
because that money became their God. And when your money becomes your God, it will turn you against family and friends and anybody you think that is out for what you have. If this is my best friend in the world, but now I get a little money and I have that fear of losing it, and I think that he's plotting to get it, I am going to eventually take him out over that because of that love of money and not the love of God, that no matter if the money is here or not, that God will provide. See, we have so much faith in that money, and that's where that spirit of fear comes from that the Bible said God didn't give us. So if God didn't give us the spirit of fear, then obviously by process of elimination it came from evil, which is the devil. So sometimes Satan uses that money to get us to destroy ourselves and become our own demises.
Yep.
So we have to be careful, like what the Spider-Man say, with great power comes great responsibility. It kind of holds the same theme for money. So we have to be careful that we don't allow that money to become our God. So I like the way that you
yep.
really emphasize and clarify
Good.
That.
Thank you. Any other comments?
That was very
okay.